So, chapter 25, 26. Okay. I'll chant both verses, but there's just the one verse which is up there, and then we'll run through that. So, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O King, as in the ocean of the bigger and stronger aquatics swallow up the smaller and weaker ones, so also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to lighten the burden of the earth, has engaged the stronger Yadu to kill the weaker, and the bigger Yadu to kill the smaller. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the material world, the struggle for existence and survival of the interest of, the fittest are the laws, because in the material world there is a disparity between the conditioned souls due to their everyone's desire to lord it over the material resources. This very mentality of lording it over the material nature is the root cause of conditioned life. And to give facility to such imitation lords, the illusory energy of the Lord has created a disparity between conditioned living beings by creating the stronger and the weaker in every species of life. The mentality of lording it over the material nature and the creation has naturally created a disparity. Therefore, the law of the struggle for existence, therefore, the law of the struggle for existence. In the spiritual world, there is no struggle for existence because everyone exists eternally. There is no disparity, because everyone wants to render service to the Supreme Lord. And no one wants to imitate the Lord in becoming the beneficiary. The Lord, being the creator of everything, including the living beings, factually is the proprietor and enjoyer of everything that be. But in the material world, by the spell of Maya or illusion, the eternal relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is forgotten. And so the living being is conditioned under the law of the struggle for existence and survival of the fittest. Om Ajnana Timmarandasya Jananjana Salakeya Chakshohun Milatam Yena Tasmei Sri Gurave Namah. So, Namo Vishnu Buddhaya Krishna Messiah Bhutali Shumakti Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Salasvati Deva Guravani Pachanane Novasesha Sunyadi Pastataya Desatarine. So, in reading this, I'll just read a few previous translations, just to give us a lead up to today's verses. In text 21, it said, in this translation, I have the very same Gandiva bow, the same arrows, the same chariot, drawn by the same horses. I use them as the same Arjuna to whom the kings offered their due respects. But in absence of Lord Krishna, all of them, at a moment's notice, have become null and void. It is exactly like offering clarified butter onto ashes, accumulating money with a magic wand, or like sowing seeds on a barren land. Then in 22 and 23, O King, you've asked about our friends and relatives in Dwarka, in the city of Dwarka. I will inform you that all of them were cursed by the Brahmanas, and as a result, they all became intoxicated with wine of putrefied rice and fought amongst themselves with sticks, not even recognizing one another. Now all but four or five of them are dead and gone. And so we come to here the 24. Factually, all this is due to the supreme will of the personality of Godhead. Sometimes people kill one another, and at other times they protect one another. So now this morning's verse. This is very wonderful. Sort of analogy and breakdown by Prabhupada here in the purport. In the material world, the struggle for existence and the struggle of the fittest are the laws. Because in the material world, there is a disparity between conditioned souls due to everyone's desire to lord it over the resources of nature. This very mentality of lording it over the material nature is the root cause of conditioned life. And to give such a facility to such imitation lords, the illusory energy has created disparity between the living beings by creating stronger and weaker species of life. Now, it's this wanting to lord it over the material nature, we become pretenders to the throne. You know, this pretender to the throne, it's somebody who thinks he has the right to the throne. And there were, in previous times, contentions. Who's going to have the throne? As there was in the Mahabharata. You know, it's all there. And it's repeated time and time again. In democracy, or as Prabhupada calls it, in democracy, who's going to pretend to the throne? And pretend. And there's an old song that I remember. Oh yes, I'm a great pretender, pretending that I'm doing well. And this is this world. That you don't know who's a real person anymore, because they see a film, and then they become Rambo, or they become this hero and this heroine. They identify with all these characters, and all of a sudden I can remember, you know, coming out of the cinema and clearly identifying myself with a personality in this film. And it's like how we identify with material things. Oh, I've got Reeboks, you know, and, you know, whatever they are. And so that makes me better and superior to somebody else. And but actually, they've lost the thread, if you get what I mean. That actually, shoes are meant for walking. And, you know, especially when there's building works going on, you need shoes on, but it's to protect your feet. But It's a strange world where we identify with material objects to relate to our status in life. So, yes, whether it be a car, a house, a beautiful wife, a beautiful husband, you know, all these things, they relate to our status. And and I can remember too, you know, some of the most beautiful people haven't been necessarily beautiful externally. It's an internal arrangement. And yet some of the most beautiful people externally are not beautiful inside. That actually, there's a facade. It's a complete facade. So there's a sort of peace formula that I've written down here that Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, and it's chapter 5, text 29. It'll bring us peace. And I'll read the English translation. Excuse me. I haven't got the memory for slokas and everything, so I have to keep referring to my paraphernalia. So on 529, it says, "A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to being the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all the planets and the demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, he attains peace from the pangs of material misery." And a person in full consciousness, it's a wonderful vision, the full consciousness of me, is a very wonderful statement, because it always brings me to one of my favorite verses. "For one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me." And we should see that in our lives, that actually everything that happened to us, that causes us some difficulty or some happiness, that actually it comes from the Supreme Lord. And so happiness and distress come from the Supreme Lord. But it's not without a message. It's always got a message. It's telling us that we're not perfect. And so we don't expect anybody else to be perfect, because our expectations, they can destroy our view on the world. Expectation is the mother of disappointment. If we expect something from someone and we become disappointed, we shouldn't, because Krishna's in charge. He's giving us our quota. And sometimes there's arguments, sometimes there's squabbles. And we have to realize this is the laws of material nature. There's a very nice quote from Prabhupada, if I can find my little... Oh, yes. I always... there's this transcendental calendar. And in there are very, very many quotes. And they're wonderful. But it tells us, Prabhupada, he says, in a nutshell, certain things. Excuse me while I get it out. I could paraphrase it, but I don't want to do. I want to do it justice. You know the way he says it. Excuse me. If I can get it out. I keep too much paraphernalia. It's a letter to Jayapataka Swami from a letter It's an extract from the letter. And he says that, and he gives us the way we can see Krishna in everything. He gives us a nice formula. He says, the secret of surrendering to Krishna is that such a surrendered devotee sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. Whatever I'm meant to be doing, I am doing. So let me do it with my full attention to every detail. Let me become absorbed in such service, never mind what it is. Let all other considerations be forgotten, and only my desire to do the best for Krishna's alone pleasure is my motive. So we sometimes, think that we're the doer, prakriti kriyamanani gune kamani sarvasaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. But we must realize that in our fallibility in doing things, that actually Krishna is reminding us of our fallibility, that we're not perfect. He's trying to say, you're just a tiny part and parcel. You should know your position relative to me, and then you'll be happy. Because we won't aspire to be great. If we aspire for greatness and being like this devotee, like that devotee, everybody has talent. And you've got to know what it is. And so it says that what I am meant to be doing, I'm meant to be doing. So let me do it with my full attention, no matter what it is. Don't quantify it. Don't put a calculation on it. Because it's coming from Krishna. I like this bit of Krishna, but I don't like that bit of Krishna. If it's coming from Krishna, we're trying to choose which Krishna we like. Isn't it? Is it true? Maybe, yes, no, agree, disagree. So it's something that we have to be very careful. And there's times when I felt, woe with me, in despair. But actually, he says in that verse, he says, I'm your benefactor and well-wisher and the friend of all living beings. This is the peace formula, the peace within, to bring us peace within. That it's telling us that Krishna is looking after, but he's the Lord, not you. You aren't in control. We think we are if we're under the modes of material nature, because the false ego says, I'm the doer of activities. The spirit soul becomes bewildered by the influence of the material energy. So whether you're wearing the right shoes and the right dress and the right, or have the right car or these things, you shouldn't attach anything to them. Everything's coming by the grace of the Lord. Some people are rich, you know, like Richard Branson, you know, this the Virgin executive of Virgin Money and trains and aeroplanes and God knows what. He's been given that, and somehow or other, he just had a record business to start off with, and doing discount records. It was amazing, and how it expanded and expanded. And somehow or other, this person, because of whatever he's done in his previous lives, has been given a certain ability. Likewise, all of us has been given a certain ability. Some of us can do things in spite of our disability and difficulties. And we should understand that there is no disability. Our disabilities are good for us. So-called disabilities, that is. It encourages us to know that actually our imperfection, and that the Lord is in charge. He's giving us, you know, the reactions of our past misdeeds. And if we accept that, he says, that's the secret of surrendering to Krishna. That whatever we've got is okay. I'm okay, you're okay, they say, don't they? In this Alcoholics Anonymous thing. I'm okay, you're okay. But it's to give us an understanding that we're not okay if we're materially in illusion. And we think, our relationship with Krishna kill and destroy and be in charge and conquer in the way I want under the modes of material nature. That's not what it's all about. It's that actually, directly we have these feelings of feeling superior, throw them away, because a proud person, they can't learn anything. They say, I know, isn't it? Before you've even finished saying what you've said, I know. It's not possible. You can't even finish the sentence. And I'm like that. Why do I see it? Because I'm like that. It's a reflection of me. So I'm telling you, by way of confession, this is a problem for my personal nature. And it's a problem with old age too, because we think we know. But we don't know. Krishna knows everything. So he says, let all other considerations be forgotten, and my desire is to do the best for Krishna's alone pleasure. Not my pleasure, for Krishna's pleasure. So we honor prasadam. We don't have it, and then find 2 seconds later it's gone, and you haven't honored it. You haven't even known what you're eating. It becomes another something to fill the belly. And so, to honor something, there are certain people that have the ability to honor and concentrate on what they're doing. So we should. It's a service to the prasadam, the mercy of the Lord, that we honor it. You know, this is Krishna in front of me. This is Krishna inside me. It's purifying me. And that it's his mercy. So there's an appreciation. It's gratitude. And in this way, we got to realize that it's coming from Krishna, whatever we've got. And whatever comes, we try and take it in the way as our own quota, as it says in Sri Ashupanasad. We accept our quota in this world. Be peaceful, be satisfied. It comes from Krishna. Not that person, not that person. And point that they're the culprit, That's blaming others. We used to have a nice report given to apprentices. And there was one, it went in taking responsibility for what one did by the person that was training us. There was one, he says, actively seeks responsibility and is helpful. And then there's the lowest of the responsibility, blames others. That's the lowest responsibility. You know, so you have these degrees. So, better to take responsibility for whatever happens to you, and in that way, do the best you can for Krishna's alone pleasure. So, don't blame others if you've not so-called, it's you know, your cooking's burnt or whatever. It may well be the oven's gone faulty. That's true. But you have to accept that position, make the best use of a bad bargain. And can't make excuses. We just say, I'm very sorry. And we apologize. But somehow or other, the oven's not working properly. You know. But we're not blaming others. It's a situation. You can be honest in your situation. And you can be saying, sorry, you know, the prasad's been burnt or something like that. You know. There's many things, but we also have to admit our fault, that we left the oven on too long or too overcooked it or something like that. That's all there. That's part of our responsibility. We take responsibility in some way for doing the something as best we can, but it's for Krishna's alone pleasure. If we just remember that, and doing the best for Krishna's alone pleasure is my motive. And that's the perfection. That's the perfection. Not we're the perfection. The doing our best is the perfection. Like we say to our child, you know, if they failed their exams, well, did you do your best? And they say, well, yeah. Well, that's all you can give, isn't it? That's all you've got. You know, the resource is there. But if you over-endeavor, as I pointed out once, this young lady came up to our book table, said, have you got something that's like yoga, so I can be peaceful? Because my mother's getting on my case, my father's getting on my case. I must do well in the exams. And they were putting pressure on her. And so she was staying up late at night, over-endeavoring. And in over-endeavor, we get qualified for something we're not qualified for. Because you get a result, maybe an examination, you end up with a job you can't do. So we have to understand we do to the best of our ability and be peaceful. The peace formula, that Krishna's in charge. And we shouldn't have to worry. He's our benefactor and well-wisher in all circumstances. I think that's it, really. It's 8:30 now. Any comments or questions? And I suppose conclusion really is, I've put something here. I put a conclusion here. Our dependence on the Lord is our real independence from the illusion of material existence. We have to know we're dependent on the Lord, because that's our real independence, because we become independent of the influence of the illusion of material, the material world. So we have to realize that we're dependent on Krishna, as Arjuna is realizing in this whole chapter. It's just very wonderful. He gives so many examples of how we were dependent on Krishna. He's citing. So to realize your independence from the illusory energy, you must be dependent on Krishna. Yeah. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Virgin Prabhu, thank you for the class. I just have a question in regards to something you just said towards the conclusion. And you're saying that if you over-endeavor for something, you become qualified for something you're not supposed to be qualified for. Yeah. So how do we know that the things that we're qualified for, that we're seemingly qualified in at the present moment, are the things that we're meant to be qualified for?
Right, that's a nice one. We had in aircraft place a Swiss manager, and he says, you have to know your level of incompetence. And that's a good one. It's a good way of gauging. I'm out of my depth here. I've got to be careful. We get out of our depth in many circumstances. The most difficult thing is etiquette. Etiquette is our safeguard. And, because it's called, it gives respect. And sometimes if we're not careful, we don't respect each other. So we must have good respect for each other. Otherwise, if the respect is not there, and that actually everybody is really trying their best, and you don't beat them up for not being the best, then you just have to realize that mistakes, and we're not perfect. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone, Jesus said, didn't he? And nobody could do it. So the whole business is there, that we're not perfect, and that's realization. But Krishna's perfect, and what he's arranging for us is perfect, and we can't blame Krishna. We only have to realize that everything's coming from Krishna. Accept it as our quota. That's the best. And then you'll be peaceful. You won't have to worry. Okay. Hare Krishna. Anybody else, ladies? Comments, questions? Yes. Have you got the mic?
Haripal.
Oh, sorry. The ladies got.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for a wonderful class.
Could you speak into the mic? I'm a bit deaf, actually. Is it on? Yeah, I think it's on. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
In regards of expectations, actually, what does it mean not to have any expectation from a person? Because it's so natural when you meet someone, when someone is really very nice, you don't expect from him or her that they will kill you or something like that, isn't it? You have this expectation that they will act properly. And we say that we shouldn't have any expectations. And what does it mean, if you could please?
Yeah. Expectation means it's the mode of passion, actually. It's in the mode of passion. That we, a person in Krishna consciousness, he only expects the mercy of the Lord, whatever way it comes. But from individuals, and that we're part and parcel of the Lord, and that we're fallible. I'm not perfect, that's for certain. We're not perfect, if you can accept that part of it, but also accept responsibility when that may be because of your negligence that I've made a mistake. It's a lesson then. You can grow from that position. I've made a mistake. How in the future can I learn from this? So expectation, Prabhupada says, he quotes, failure is the pillar of success. Why? Because we learn from it. Our success will be to learn from all these things that maybe we're not so perfect at, or that we weren't perfect in our expectations of each other. That we have to know that it's always going to be so, but to have no expectation. And I learned this from my mother, actually. Her expectations she had no expectations. You know, when my father passed away very early in our childhood, she was on her own to bring up 8 children. But she was never alone, of course. She was given that ability to be fixed in her motherhood. But at the same time, she did the best she could. But some of us in the family felt that they weren't getting enough love from her. That is the hole in them. I felt that she was doing so much that I felt we were rich. And yet they felt, because they weren't getting attention, that they were demanding in within themselves, that they were deprived. They weren't given the motherly affection that they should have had. But when you've got 8 kids, what do? Tell me. You do the best you can. You give what you've got. But our karma is that we have weaknesses and expectations, and they fool us, they cheat us. Our expectations definitely cheat us, you know, because it closes us off from the Lord. He's the person that gives the result of everything. So we've got to understand everything comes from Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravatate. We should understand that everything comes from Krishna. We don't blame Krishna, but the way we handle things, we should know our fallibility, because we're in a material world. We're not here because we're perfect, isn't it? We have to understand that. That's why we're here. He's given us a chance to be in contact with Krishna consciousness. It's a chance. Be grateful. Don't look at other people. Don't blame other people. Don't blame Krishna. We're reaping what we've sown. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. It's Ben.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the wonderful class. At the beginning you were talking about identity, and it's very interesting how people identify with things like their possessions, their status and things like that. And I was wondering on your viewpoint why you think people identify with other people, like you say, with films, they like to be other people, they like to imitate these characters. So is it a sense of they're not content with themselves, or they want to be what they think is perfect? I wonder if you could give some sort of insight into that.
We're in the world that we're conditioned, and we aspire for things, and we're very, it's subject to our association. We got to find out who we are, actually, and not what we associate with in this world. If you associate with devotees, you'll find out who the real person is. And what you can and can't do, especially in the training. So, but in the material world, there's what we call ambition. You may not be qualified for the job, for the prime minister, but you may be completely in the mode of ignorance. And it's been so. Idi Amin in Africa, slaughtering people. You know, in tribes and everything, it's just so horrible. In the mode of ignorance, yet he's the leader. He had power. Power, absolute power, corrupts. He thought he was the doer. He was in charge. But then he had to run away. And I think they got him eventually. So you can't run away from Krishna. That's for certain. He'll catch you, you know. But no, this is anyway. So if it answers the questions about expectations, these sort of things, it stops you seeing the reality from illusion. Expectation is based on our modes of material nature. So be careful, because what we see is what we are. So we got to be careful. You know, if we see a fault in a person, that fault is what we see in ourselves as well. Because we recognize it. It's there. It's just that we have to be self-realized. So recognize your faults as you go along. It's one of those things. We don't get along in ashram sometimes. But we somehow got to learn to tolerate. Yeah, anyway, I think that's I think we'd better finish now. Unless there's a pressing question. So, no? Okay. Thank you for your kind attention. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Bol.